WTF is Retail, presented by Excellent Zephyr, your ERP, integration, and automation specialists.
So today we are joined by Tori Coffey. Now I'm pronouncing your name right. Thank you for joining. You're the head of e-commerce at Northern Monk, which is an independent brewery based in Leeds, who are on a mission to create the best beer experience in the world. How are you doing?
Good, thanks for having me.
Good, thank you. Thank you for coming in. And just on a personal note, I'm happy to be back doing a podcast with Theo after a bit of an absence. We're kind of really excited about this. We've had a wine company on called Lalo in a previous season. And now we've got a beer company, which is great because we love beer and all things associated with it. If my sources are correct, you've now got a team of over 100 people and you've surpassed a £10 million in revenue turnover.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Great. Really good. Obviously, we started as quite a small business and we've grown exponentially. So, brilliant. Yeah.
Thanks to you, I'm presuming.
It was all me. No, it was not at all.
Before we jump in, like always, going to give a big shout out to our sponsors of season two, Souq, who provide flexible pop-up spaces in the UK high street for retail brands. So we'll just get stuck into it, Tori. So the first question I wanted to kind of ask you is more of a personal question to kick us off. So it'd be great if you could walk us through your personal journey within e-commerce industry. How did you end up working for a brewery? Was that a natural transition for you? And how are you finding it?
Yeah, so I started actually working, I went to uni and I was doing journalism and I was doing freelance copywriting while I was there. So when I left, I went into an e-commerce agency as an executive, kind of helping out different e-commerce brands. It wasn't that matured as a market at the time. So a lot of the things that exist now maybe didn't exist then. Kind of worked my way. I went through a couple of brands, a couple of agencies just to see what stuck and what I enjoyed, which was actually good overall because, you know, there's a big difference between in-house and agency led. But then I was working in another alcohol brand and I saw the Northern Monk. I was spoken to about it and yeah, it's the culture that kind of drove me in, you know. It's a really nice culture. It's a nice place to be. The people genuinely are passionate about it. You know, there's none of this. We're a family. It's genuinely, we're all on the same boat here. So yeah, it's a really fun place to work. It's obviously challenging. We have a lot going on all the time, but it's good. And our customers are really engaged. It's just a nice vibe. Yeah.
Lots of after work beers.
Yeah, when we have time.
Doesn't sound too bad.
And you relocated from Belfast for this job, right?
No. Oh, no. I relocated in 2018. Mm-hmm. Not for this job, but just for more e-commerce opportunities. And that was actually, I went straight into an agency there. But yeah, just kind of moved my way through and gaining experience along the way.
Awesome. And we'll definitely touch on, you know, the experience that you got on the e-commerce side in a bit, I think. But first of all, I wanted to jump into, we were joking before that, you know, the growth of the brand in the last couple of years has been all down to you. I'm sure there's a lot more going on and off camera you've been speaking about that. But I just wanted to know, you know, throughout the last couple of years, you've obviously witnessed some great growth. What would you say have been like some landmark occasions and how have you seen the brand flourish in your time with Northern Monk?
Well, recently the production team mostly, we announced that our Holy Faith cans were the first ever non-alcohol beer to win 3 gold stars in the Great Taste Awards, which obviously has never happened before for an alcohol-free beer. Wow. And, you know, hard to do as well. So that's down to production and brewers and that sort of thing. So that was quite a highlight of the last few months, I suppose. We reached 100 staff members as well. That was really positive. And just, you know, to see the team growing and all the effort that's gone in from the very beginning. There's a lot of staff still there that were there at the beginning. And, you know, I'm sure it's good for them to see their hard work paying off.
100%.
And for me, we've just moved into Amazon, which is brilliant for me. Because I feel like, you know, we can make a real mark there. There's a real opportunity. And that's been really nice to work on.
Awesome. That's sort of something you've had experience with in a past life, right? The Amazon piece, or
in previous agency life, I had a role in Amazon, you know, with different clients, and then in different brands, we've had setups on Amazon across Amazon Seller and Amazon Vendor. In this case, we're Amazon Seller, but it's good to have. I think it obviously changes all the time, so it can be difficult because they change it quite often. But it's good, you know, having the knowledge and the experience of doing it in different brands, but also in doing it in different ways.
Yeah, for sure. Different contexts.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and like we're talking about obviously how the brand's grown quite a lot. Obviously the beer market in general has grown quite a lot over recent years. And I just wanted to kind of, in your opinion, how does Northern Monk kind of differentiate from competitors in quite a competitive market nowadays with independent brewers and such?
Yeah, so I think our brewers are quite inventive. You know, we try to keep things exciting. So, you know, we've released, and our marketing team and our system, everyone obviously has an input, but, you know, we try to keep it exciting. So we had like recently the Monk Syrup Stack, which is a pancake stout. We have the Aunt Bessie's beers that we release. We had that apple crumble and custard. We had the mix pack, like the roast dinner.
There's some weird ones in there. Yeah. That's got a lot of hype. Yeah,
yeah, got a lot of hype, and they sell well. People are interested in them, and they're fun, you know. And we, because we have fun making them, coming up with the ideas, I think it also shines through into the customer wanting to try them. Other things like our kind of hype releases, like our Tank Petrol series, our bigger patrons releases, like that maybe existed in the past, we'll hype them up and maybe bring them back again, things like that. So we do try to strategically think about what was enjoyed previously and what can we do again that worked well, awesome, and that still would have a part to play in the current context.
Totally. And, you know, we sort of touched on already how it is totally a community within Northern Monk, but also within the beer, craft beer community as well. It's like a massive thing.
Yeah, well, because we have festivals as well, 2 a year. So that kind of keeps that, you know, collaborative idea around, and people can put faces to names and that sort of thing. So it's not just us blindly putting things out there. You know, people are speaking to the customers. We're talking to customers online in terms of customer service on our Facebook group. But in terms of putting faces to your name, I think that keeps it exciting as well, so you know what we're actually up to.
Yeah, it's something you guys have done really, really well.
And these events, are they at the brewery, or do you kind of use spaces in Leeds? Or
so we do tap takeovers, obviously, with different bars where we'll go in and, you know, take over there. But in terms of the festivals, they're full beer festivals. So we have Hop City, which tends to happen May, June, and that's at our, it went to our Sydenham Road brewery, but now it's back at the refectory. And then we have another one, which is Dark and Wild, which happens in the later part of the year, so it's upcoming.
Yeah, so one pre-summer, getting everyone ready to get their summer booze in, and one pre-festive period.
Yeah, so one's like hoppy beers, Hop City, and one's Dark and Wild, which is like dark and sour beers,
more for like the colder Christmas months. Interesting. Really cool.
Yeah, and you guys do like a subscription service as well. And we've seen across kind of retail that's become really popular. And I just wanted you to kind of give us some insights into the advantage of like subscription, beer subscription, for obviously the brand, but also the customers.
Yeah, so for the customers, we've tried to make it appealing. Obviously, we've had to change it a few times over the last kind of 18 months as times change, as costs change. But you know, the benefit is you're getting releases up the most hyped releases and all the patrons' beers guaranteed. So, you know, for example, if something sells out, you know you're getting it in the box, that you're not having to worry, oh, should I spend delivery on this, but I'm getting it in the box. You know you're getting it in the box. And we have updated the boxes recently, but we try to keep them informed on what's upcoming and that sort of thing. It just keeps them in the loop and it makes them feel like they're involved. But also, there's USP, so they get a discount code, they're part of the Facebook group. We, you know, we try to give them that benefit, the fact that they're the loyal customers. For us, it's kind of good in terms of organization, because we know how many people are going to get that box.
Yeah.
So when we, like, it's not like a product that we just manufacture and then it arrives. You know, a brew, you could get less yield on it you know, it has to be split between kegs, cans, etc. Some needs to go to different bottle shops, etc. So there's a lot to think about. So if we know that many people will definitely be getting that box, we know for a fact that that allocation needs to go there.
Yeah.
It just helps organize it, and also it's kind of, it's nice to have an engaged audience as well that you know is there. You can ask their opinions on things, mm-hmm. and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, and surely from a brand perspective, it's good in terms of revenue,
guaranteed,
right?
Guaranteed revenue, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I imagine that's a massive part. Like when we spoke to other brands about the subscription model, you know, there's a lot of talk about churn and if it's worth it in the long run, or if you're just trying to capture customers. But I think it sounds like it's working for you guys.
Yeah, it definitely works for us because, as well, it's really good to have their input on things. You know, if we're thinking about rebrewing something or whatever the case might be, like, we do tend to send out surveys and things. Mm. And, you know, obviously, we try to make, it's not always going to please everybody what our changes mm-hmm. are, but we do try to make it, the longevity of it continue.
Yeah.
And is there incentives for your customers, like for filling out these surveys or things, or do they just do it because they love the brand?
They do it because they love the brand. So, you know, because we're genuinely doing things to try and give people what they want. Obviously, we need to generate revenue at the same time, but we're trying to do things that the customers are asking for. So, you know, we take seriously what people are sending in customer service, what people are posting on social media, what they're asking for if we're ever at events or things. And then, you know, if it's something that maybe some people wouldn't like we put out a survey about do you want to get alcohol-free beers in your subscription mm-hmm. box, and because a lot of people don't want them.
Yeah. What was the response to that?
It was, at the time, it was closer to kind of most people didn't want them.
Okay.
So now they're not all, well, it depends what we release, because now the box have changed slightly. But yeah, we try to lean for the majority. Obviously, it's not always possible, but we do try to. And in terms of just trying to give them what they want and letting them know what's upcoming so that they can make the decision for themselves.
Awesome. Yeah, that leads pretty nicely, I think, into my next question. It was about craft beer enthusiasts, being quite well known for their loyalty to their favorite brands, right? And you guys have obviously hit that on the head, engaging them a lot. But how do you leverage certain e-commerce strategies to cultivate and maintain a loyal customer base, apart from surveys, for example?
So I guess there's obviously our patrons, customers, or subscribers who get all of those benefits of their own, but we do also have a whole other group of customers who maybe order once every 6 months or once every 3 months, or, I don't know, do a big bulk order every year, mm-hmm. whatever it is, or maybe they wait for the festive beers. And we obviously want to give back to those customers as well. So we have Faith Points, which is essentially a loyalty scheme, which, you know, you get benefits as you collect the Faith Points. So it's literally a points-based loyalty scheme, but mm-hmm. we call them Faith Points, and you build them up, get free shipping, get, say, £10 off, whatever it is, the benefit is. You know, we offer free shipping on your first order to try and get, because we know people love the beer, we know we offer a good product, so we know that once they purchase it and try it, they'll love it, and then they'll come back.
They'll buy again.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. And just out of curiosity, is with Faith Points and how you gain them, is it just by making purchases, or are there other things you can sort of do to get these points?
Yeah, so making purchases on your birthday, following on social media,
okay, cool.
the normal kind of things.
Yeah.
We've got it all linked up just so that as much activity as they are undertaking, we can give back to them.
Awesome. Yeah, and I guess continuing that community vibe or part of the conversation, you know, it can be quite difficult to build an online community in a remote age, which we've been speaking about off camera, you know, everything being online. How does Northern Monk foster a sense of community online specifically, you know, like from afar, not just through the website perhaps?
So we have our Facebook group for the patrons, and there's, you know, they tend to chat amongst themselves in there, and we'll join in every so often. Obviously, we don't want to influence a conversation too much. We also have, like, our emails. We try to engage people via our emails. Obviously, that's a massive asset to us because people have given us their data to contact them. Mm-hmm. So we try to make that worth their while, you know, with new releases, any promotions. We also, a part of the patrons' benefits is when we release a product, like a new product that's probably going to sell out, that's maybe not in the boxes, like maybe a guest beer or maybe one of our wild beers, we let them know first, so they get first dibs, so they can log into a collection within Shopify and get that. It's all hidden in there, they've got their password, they can go pick it out, and then they get that. So trying to foster that kind of loyalty and understanding that, you know, we're here for you, you mm-hmm. know, we want to benefit you.
Yeah.
But also just, I know you said remotely, but, you know, obviously we have the bars, and the fact that, you know, our bar staff all engage with our customers, they know all the regulars by name.
Yeah.
There's really good community in Northern Monk, customers and staff. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think that really helps.
Definitely.
And like a lot of e-commerce brands that we've been kind of been speaking to, there's that kind of word of omnichannel, incorporating like physical retail, things like that. Like, if I'm not mistaken, you kind of open the doors of your refectories. Is that the right word? It feels like it's the wrong word.
Yeah, it's the right word.
But it's what it says here. So yeah, so you kind of open your doors. What is there any advantage to that? You know, from a customer standpoint, you know, why do you do that, and what kind of importance does that kind of play?
So we do have refectories, one in Leeds and one in Manchester. And basically, I suppose the benefit is customers get to try new beers. Maybe if they aren't sure whether to commit to a full order of it or however many, in the bars, you know, obviously you can get a third or a half of a pint.
Yep.
Rather than, you know, it means you can try out different types, you know, maybe if you're not really sure about dark beers, you can try those, or sour beers or whatever, and kind of test your palate and see if you actually enjoy it. But also it's the kind of camaraderie of, you know, people love buying beers and then checking into Untappd and that sort of thing. So it builds that up. We also will, you know, if we do any collabs, we'll stock the guest beers in there as well. Yeah, and we've got, you know, both bar staff teams will run a lot of events. So, you know, our 10th birthday is coming up in October. So we'll be running a birthday at each of those, a birthday party.
Cool.
Also in the Leeds refectory upstairs, we've got an events place where we'd hold weddings and things like that. Sometimes they do events on an evening with different craft events and things. But also in Manchester we have the same downstairs, so both have an event space as well, so that's really good, and it kind of offers a space for the community as well.
Yeah, so it's a place for your community to come together, but also through your events you're actually attracting potential new customers.
Yeah.
To come and try your product in the same way that a store on the high street might do for physical products.
Yeah.
In food and bev, I guess it's so important that new customers are able to taste and
yeah.
like figure out what they like, or if they like your brand, before like going online and being just showing a picture, right?
Yeah,
it's super cool. It's a different take on like bricks and mortar stores in a way.
Yeah,
exactly. And you know, also, you know, if something sells out online, sometimes you can get it in the bars, and
uh-huh.
vice versa. So we try to help each other out in terms of something sold out, you know, you can go over there, vice versa. Yeah, it's really good.
Is that something you would like, say you tried to buy something online and it was out? Not that, I don't know how that would be tracked, but would you be able to like sort of let them know, hey, this is available in this store, for example, or in the brewery, if you want to try?
If they ask us,
yeah,
we do try and find, but I mean, I don't have like, we're all kind of different parts, so
yeah.
We're not all running work. It'd be devastating if we were all working from one stock take. I just don't think it would work, but obviously we all have our own allocation. So
okay.
If someone comes to me and says, I really wanted this, is there definitely none left? We always try to get some more in, or we'll say, here, we know it's available at this location.
Interesting. Awesome.
Okay, and you kind of mentioned you previously worked with agencies in a past life and things like that. And, you know, you have experience with e-commerce platforms like Shopify, Amazon as well, specifically. You know, could you talk us through a little bit, you know, Northern Monk's choice of e-commerce platform, why,
yeah.
you know, how does that help you?
Yeah, so we're on Shopify. When I started, we were working on WordPress and Shopify. So WordPress was more of a content site. It had a catalog of all of our beers and it had all the news and stuff. But then the Shopify was the web shop. So last year we merged them both together just because, well, it's probably obvious, just it was a bit confusing.
Yeah.
some customers might come on and then they would email us and say, I'm trying to find this beer, it's on your website, but I can't buy it. And that's because they're looking at an archive, which it was clear, but if you only knew that website existed, it wasn't clear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So now we've pulled them all into one site on Shopify, so we've got all the content there, which obviously helps SEO-wise, but it's also not as actually confusing for a customer who lands on the website. And also, you know, it's important. All that stuff is important. It's got job information. It's got the history. It's got the patrons project historical list. It's got all that stuff. So we've just brought it all together so it's less confusing. We use Shopify mostly because I know I've just said about how many of us are, but there's actually quite small teams within those. So we obviously have to be quite lean in what we're doing. In terms of Shopify, it's obviously easy to use, it's easy to grow, you don't need the technical capabilities of a developer there 24/7. It's got all the plugins that you need, it's got the help, you know, if you need to ask. ClearView is kind of what we use for all of, well, it is what we use for all of our emails, and there's so much data there that it plugs straight into Shopify, and I use it religiously. So it just makes everything easy. We need everything to just work. Like, we don't really have time for anything to fall over.
Yeah.
And Shopify just doesn't fall over.
Are you on Plus or normal Shopify?
Just normal.
Okay. Do you think you'll ever get to a point when you'll need to?
We've considered it a few times, but then we've always backed away because we don't really need to be there right now. I think, you know, obviously we'd like to get to the point where we have to, but I don't think we're, I don't think we need to just yet.
Yeah.
And it comes with a price.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just don't think I just don't think we need to, because some of our orders are literally subscriptions, so that kind of just works. We don't need necessarily the things like the flows I would do on ClearView. So obviously there's other benefits, but we just haven't tipped over the edge yet that we need to be. Yeah.
That's good. So Shopify is working really well for you.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on the marketplaces, Amazon piece, which is obviously new and exciting. Can you tell us a bit about the decision to go down that route and how that was, again, influenced by your previous experience?
Yeah, so I've always had the argument that Amazon customers are not the same as your own website customers. I think they're two different people. That's just my personal opinion. You know, if a person's going to shop on Amazon, they're not probably going to go to your website.
Okay.
That might not be the same vice versa, but I just think there's two different mentalities there. And one is more probably brand loyalty, obviously coming to the website, and one is probably more ease and convenience.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying we're not selling the same products on both. They're variations, because maybe on Amazon we'll look more at gifting, and you know, those last minute shoppers that maybe I've got a barbecue in 3 days. I need this. Now we do offer 24-hour delivery on our website, but sometimes Amazon's just the easiest thing, you know.
Yeah.
I could purchase it within 4 seconds if it's sitting there, could just get it. Whereas on the website, you know, it's a little bit more thought provoking. There's also not as big a range on Amazon to try and really get that kind of mindset of a customer. Obviously we're gonna grow it, but we've been live for 2 months, and that's, I don't even mean being live, you know, that's gradually adding things to it. So it's very early days, but I think it's very exciting because it's a whole new sales channel for us, and it's a whole new kind of wave of customers and opportunities for the brand.
Really interesting, because when we typically speak to people, I think they see marketplace often as a way to get your brand out there, almost brand awareness, right? Someone clicks on it, as you said, maybe for a gift, and realize they actually like the brand. And the end goal was sort of to bring them onto a website, maybe.
Yeah.
But you're sort of seeing them as very different buying personas, and you're happy with them being that way.
I mean, long term, yeah, it will be about brand awareness, and they will hopefully come to your website eventually, because they'll taste. So one of the products would be like the Taster Bundle, which is a variation of beers. And then they'll think, oh, this is nice. I've been received this as a gift. I'll go to their website.
Yeah.
That's also possible, but I mean, in the very beginning instance of that customer hitting your website or hitting your Amazon page, I see them as different. One knows who we are, and one, I'm not saying they don't, but potentially doesn't.
Yeah.
And they're also more of a convenience shopper. They're doing it last minute. So potentially, yes, it is longevity. And I would say it is definitely brand awareness, because it's reaching those new customers. But in the first instance, I see it as a new sales channel for new customers.
Yeah, and obviously this is super new, but with the idea be to go into multiple different marketplaces over time, or you're happy with Amazon being the go-to if you're that scrambly kind of shopper?
I would prefer to do Amazon and then branch into Amazon EU.
Okay.
And then look at other markets. I'd rather get Amazon nailed.
Yeah.
And get to the other, because the problem, you know, obviously with Brexit and alcohol, international shipping, that's a problem.
True.
So that would bridge that gap for us. So I'd rather nail Amazon UK, move to EU, and then consider, I'm fully Amazon focused.
Yeah, fair enough. We haven't actually even touched on like the compliance side of alcohol, right? It must be really difficult, like you said, to ship overseas, but even like about how you brand yourself and everything.
Yeah, it's something we try to take really seriously. Obviously we have to, so we are aware of it. We have a diversity and inclusion committee. We do run everything past them. We make sure that, you know, we are really aware of that, because it's obviously a responsibility and we take it seriously. But yeah, you're right, it is a big factor.
Totally
cool. And you know, if we're talking about multiple sales channels, obviously that gives you more data to be able to kind of play with. I know it's early days with the Amazon side of stuff, but how does this kind of data, you know, play a role in your, you know, e-commerce strategy? How do you kind of leverage that data, optimize it maybe for like customer experiences, improving things like that, and also increasing revenue?
Yeah, so it's funny you say that, because like things that sell well on our website aren't necessarily doing the same thing on Amazon, and vice versa. So there's things that I struggle to get to perform on our website but are selling so well on Amazon, which is why I think they're two different people. Not just that reason, but you know, that's an example of it. And we take that data. So when I say about Klaviyo, Klaviyo's like the bread and butter of everything, because we've obviously got so many segment possibilities. And it's a little bit niche, because so when we release a beer, webshop might have only got 10 cases of it, but then the next one we could have 30 cases of it. And you could say, well, we sold out of this one, but I'll say, well, we only had 10 cases of that and we had three times as many. So it's a little bit nuanced. So a lot of the data and things will be more based on who's like repeat purchases and who's purchased, like what's their ABV and, you know, how many times have they come back within the last 2 months, et cetera, et cetera. Because our business isn't really like normal. Most e-commerce websites will release a product in a month or a product every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
We're releasing three a week sometimes.
All the time,
like this week, I think we released six different products, three products, two bundles, and then three more bundles of those bundles. So like that's six different products.
And you're selling through them?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's not really feasible. They're all different. You know, maybe we've got five cases of this, but we've got 20 cases of this, and this was released. And so it's quite a lot, and we have to be aware of the data, but we also have to be aware there's certain nuances within the data, like I just said, of the allocations or the fact that, you know, potentially if it was a very niche collaboration that only people in Leeds would understand, that might have an impact. So there does have to be some context around the numbers as well.
Yeah, I'm assuming this kind of data and stuff that you're collecting, this can then kind of allow you to kind of change like what you're going to sell on Amazon, for example. Maybe you can come up with a specific strategy for that. Are you finding that already with selling Amazon, that maybe certain things are working, you're changing, you have a certain strategy for Amazon and you're going with that compared to your kind of physical store? Are you finding that?
So do you mean our online store?
Online store.
What did I say?
Physical store. Well, I was going to pull you up on it, but...
I saw you that and then I was like, did I hear?
Please pull me up on it.
Come on, man.
I don't have one of those. Get with
the
program.
The coffee's wearing off already, to be fair. But,
Yes, so I put things live on Amazon thinking, yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
Or let's try it out. It doesn't really perform in our web shop and it's sold out and I can't get it back in fast enough. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's not a bad thing. It's additional learning. So, you know, we know that, you know, on Amazon, for example, our Sabro hot water sells the best. But on our website, hot water mango sells the best.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out, but I don't know why yet. I don't have that much data to work with. But that sort of thing. So now I can look at it and go, okay, well, let's put in additional bundles of that. Let's put in I don't know, more non-alcoholic products because they seem to be performing well, that sort of thing. So understanding things like that, whereas on our website, those might not be the best performing products because people are interested in high ABVs and that sort of thing. So it's two different things. And again, we're always learning because the market changes all the time. Like ABV obviously didn't used to be, or low ABV didn't used to be a big thing, but now it's massive.
Yeah. And I guess it sort of allows you to be really agile when you're constantly releasing new beers, and you can listen to or watch what's happening in the market. And because of those release time scales and the data coming from them, you can really quickly adjust.
Yeah, I honestly always felt having Amazon is very handy, because when we used to have in previous businesses, when we had Amazon and Amazon did something, usually the website would do it a week later.
Mm.
So you knew if Amazon suddenly peaked, your website would probably peak next week.
Interesting.
And it seemed to happen all the time. And it was so handy, to be honest, because you would know.
Yeah.
But this is slightly different because it seems to be performing. But obviously, that was probably pre-COVID and this is post-COVID. I don't know if that's the impact. But it's interesting to see. And that will inform us on both ends. You know, what can we trial out for Amazon? What can we trial out for Shopify? And see how they go. Like, it's quite exciting because it's a whole new thing. Whereas before, we were just focused solely on the web shop and subscriptions.
Yeah, fair enough. I just had one final question that came to mind. You mentioned COVID. Mm-hmm. How is that for business for you guys? It's a bit different. Obviously, e-commerce boom, but especially in the alcohol market, I imagine people are sitting at home wanting to drink.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was pretty wild, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, the web, I wasn't there at the time when it first hit.
Yeah.
I joined in September, August 2021. So, you know, the peak of it had kind of passed by then. But again, it was a very small team and they really rallied through it. And you know, they didn't have the capability set up for that massive boom randomly just one day. And they did it and they got it all done and they set it up. And that's when they started to really think about, you know, additional kind of what can we be doing to make this work better? Because it's not very well processed at the minute. We're kind of winging it and they pulled it together. And obviously from there, we've tried to improve on that as we've gone and tried to move with the times. Because even now compared to, you know, January 2022, it's completely different. Obviously we're in a cost of living crisis now, so we try to obviously just bend with the times. So introducing more bundles because there's a bigger saving on those, introducing you know, the cheaper option on the patrons boxes, which previously would have been much more expensive, trying to give more of an entry point for people.
Cool.
That maybe before was a little bit higher price point. We're just trying to bend a little bit to the times.
Yeah. Do you a bit to help out.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all that insight. We do have a fun question at the end that we wanted to ask. Well, I think it's fun.
You say it's fun every time. It's like the most nerdy question.
Yeah.
The icebreaker
at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go for it and break the ice, guys. I'm curious to know your favorite retail / e-commerce brand to shop at.
So I just love Liquid Death. Do you know, like, I think their branding is so cool.
Yeah.
And like, I've bought it obviously and it's really good, but it is just water. Like, it's just sparkling water, but I love it. I love it. It makes me feel so much cooler than I am.
Yeah.
Like when I'm drinking it, I'm like, yeah, I'm so cool. You know,
main character vibes.
Yeah.
Down the street.
I just think it's cool. But it's also really good. You know, it's not too fizzy, but the main thing is obviously their branding.
Yeah.
They're just so good at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they obviously landed in the UK kind of springtime this year and they hit every festival. You know, they knew what they were doing. I just think they're doing a really good job considering they've just got here.
Yeah. Well, it's great feedback to hear, or great recognition to hear from a head of e-commerce like yourself. If you're listening, guys, she thinks you're doing a great job. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was really insightful conversation. For our listeners that want to learn a bit more about Northern Monk, obviously we've talked about the different channels, but where can they find out about you guys?
So we're northernmonk.com. That's it.
Nice and easy.
Yeah.
And on Amazon.
Instagram.
Now.
Oh yeah, and on Amazon, but obviously Instagram and stuff as well. We have really cool content, to be fair. So
It's super cool. I would say, honestly, you're doing the marketing really well as well.
Yeah.
And even just the designs on your packaging is awesome.
Yeah, I think we have really good photographers and designers and they just nail it. Like, you know, obviously coming from marketing as well, they're just really good.
Awesome.
And yeah.
Awesome. Well, I have to wrap things up and say thank you to our sponsors, Sook, for continued support. If you're looking to get a UK brand on the high street, look them up without committing to a long-term lease. And lastly, Harry and I are from Excellent Zephyr. We do digital transformation and growth for retail brands as well. So if you're interested in hearing more about us, www.excellentzephyr.com. We'll catch you next time on WTF is Retail. Thanks for joining.